Our God is a gift-giving God. And we're continuing in the theme of the grace of God, which means a gift-giving God. In the last post, we mentioned the Trinity and that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. All three parts of the Godhead share the same nature, and that is the nature of grace. God's grace can be described as salvation, mercy, compassion, favor, and kindness. And all of these are given by God, not because we've earned it or deserve grace, but because God's grace is a gift. God's grace is the evidence of His love for us. Now, the gift of the Father, or the gift or grace of the Father, of Father God, is that He provided a way to restore the broken relationship which began in the Garden of Eden between mankind and Himself. And the Father did this by providing a seed. Check out my last episode for more details on this. But the seed represents, in English, what we would call a savior. Now, a savior in Hebrew would be the word Messiah. And the word savior in the Greek language, which was the language of the New Testament, of course, is the word Christ. But in any language, we're talking about Jesus. Now, we're going to talk about the gift of the Son. And the gift or the grace of Jesus Christ is revealed in the gift of the Holy Spirit to the believer, to the church. The Holy Spirit who empowers us to live the Christian life in grace and in power. When Jesus walked the earth, His followers had the benefit of His physical presence. They felt His love, they experienced His fellowship, they witnessed His signs and wonders that only God could produce. Jesus came to the earth and to live as a human being for about 33 and a half years. Jesus made it very clear that when He departed, He would leave us another like Himself, a comforter or a helper. But this time, instead of a physical person, the helper would come in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Jesus in the flesh could only be in one place at one time, but in the Spirit, He can live in every believer. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that He lives in us. In Acts 1:4, Jesus appeared to His disciples and commanded them to stay in Jerusalem where they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were to wait in Jerusalem for what was called the promise of the Father, which Jesus had already told them about before He was crucified. Listen to what Jesus says in John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." And then we see in Acts 1:8, Jesus assures His disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then Acts chapter 2 is about the Christian church. And the Christian church was started in Holy Spirit power. Now, an obvious question might be, well, power to do what? Power to live the Christian life. Power to be bold in witnessing in our words and our actions of the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus had to leave or ascend to heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit to us. In the Gospel of John 14:16, Jesus says the following, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells within you, and He will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And that encouraging words from Jesus. Now, the word helper means an intercessor, an advocate, or one who is alongside you through thick and thin. Jesus calls Him another helper. In other words, one like Himself, but not in the physical sense, but now in a spiritual sense. You see, God will never leave you or abandon you. How wonderful it is to know that although Jesus in the flesh is not here, His Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit provides the love, the fellowship, the signs, the wonders that only God could produce, but now through us. An important function of the Helper is to guide you into doing what Jesus would do. Jesus says in John 14:25, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now, we're going to take a look at the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to take a look at 10 areas that the Holy Spirit is involved with in our lives. The Holy Spirit confirms to us that we are the children of God. That's number one. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That was Romans 8:16. The most important thing that the Holy Spirit provides is the ability to hear from God. And if we are His children, then God's desire is to assure us of His love for us. The Holy Spirit does that by revealing to us in our hearts, or what some people call the knower, that we are His. We don't need artifacts, we don't need tokens, we don't need emblems or symbols to make the Holy Spirit real to ourselves. We know Him because of the relationship that forms over time. We are no longer strangers to God, nor is He a stranger to us. We don't need to belong to an organization or to go through ritualistic steps to draw close to God, because He lives in us. And when this reality becomes our everyday experience, that's when we begin to live the victorious life. Our lives become the evidence that He lives in us. Now, the Holy Spirit is our down payment or our guarantee of our future resurrection. We're going to take a look at two scripture verses. The first one is 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22. "Now, He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." And then in 2 Corinthians 5:5, Paul says, "Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Now the word guarantee has an interesting origin. The word guarantee in the original language is the word arabon, a Hebrew word which means a pledge or part of a purchase. It can be money or property given in advance as security until you get the rest of it. It's interesting that when you purchase cloth from the cloth merchants in Jesus's day, they would give you a piece of the cloth as you purchased as an assurance or a guarantee that the whole bolt of cloth was yours. So when you return, you receive the purchase. Now, can you see the connection? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that Jesus is coming back for you. Now, the Holy Spirit also reveals Christ to us and reveals Christ in us. In John 16, verses 12 through 15, Jesus makes it clear that when the Holy Spirit comes to us, the Holy Spirit will reveal what Jesus wants us to know. He will guide us into the truth, because He's the Spirit of truth. And because of the unity of the Trinity, the truth that He speaks is from the Father and from the Son, Jesus. The Holy Spirit also teaches us how to pray. Romans 8:26 says, shows us that even when we're so distressed or confused, the Holy Spirit is able to help us pray as we ought to. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, often with words we don't understand. This is often called tongues. The scriptures call these words of prayer as groanings. Since these prayers are Holy Spirit inspired, they'll always be according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit, or God, knows what you need. And this kind of prayer in the Spirit will build up your faith, build up your confidence, as it says in Jude 1:20. The Holy Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 1 and 2 teaches us that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That is, we are not condemned to hell. And you need to remove that from your thinking. You're not hoping to go to heaven, but heaven is yours. And the evidence of our salvation is that we are learning to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm no longer trying to work my way into heaven or trying to earn God's favor. After all, I'm now a child of God. Now, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. John 16, 13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." You see, the truth is of critical importance because we know that the truth sets us free. And if the truth is in Christ, we are free indeed. But the opposite is also true. The opposite of truth is error. Come on, how many of us have lived in error and suffered the consequences of making decisions based upon bad information? But now, because of the Holy Spirit in us, we are brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are able to see the light of Christ and actively move forward towards it. Now, one of my favorite scriptures is the fact that the Holy Spirit fills us, and that's Ephesians 5:18. And it says, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, here's another quote, not from the scriptures, but a worldly quote. First, you take a drink. The drink takes a drink. And then the drink takes you. See, the point of that is that alcohol can take control of you. Far, far better is it to allow the Holy Spirit to take control of you. So in essence, to be filled with the Spirit means to live a Holy Spirit-led life. Remember, the Holy Spirit is God. And there's that Trinity thing again. So having a conversation with the Holy Spirit is talking to God. We need to learn to spend time with our friend and our comforter throughout the day. The Holy Spirit is responsible for producing the fruit or the character of God in our lives. You see, that's the evidence that his work and his presence in our lives. Galatians 5:22 begins by saying describes what the character and the nature of the Holy Spirit is. And because he lives in us, he's essentially saying that this is the character that the Holy Spirit is building in us. And the scripture goes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The 9 fruits of the Spirit that indicate that we are being led by the Spirit. And we are reflecting. We're more than reflecting. We are imparting the character of God because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, the Holy Spirit empowers us. Remember in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This was a promise that Jesus made to those who gathered in Jerusalem, anticipating the birth of the Christian church. This is a promise that Jesus makes to every believer who follows after him. You see, the church was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to witness or testify of what God was doing in your life. Power to produce boldness to speak the message or the gospel of the good news. Power of the Holy Spirit in manifesting or demonstrating the spiritual gifts described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we'll take a look at in our next episode. So as you can see, Jesus' gift of the Helper or the Holy Spirit is actively revealing to us that we are loved, we are forgiven, and we are accepted by Father God. The Holy Spirit also empowering us for service to our King Jesus. So in conclusion, the grace or the gift of the Father was the gift of Jesus in our lives. That's number one. But the gift of Jesus is the Holy Spirit who enables us to live the life Jesus has called us to. In our next episode, we'll be looking at the grace or the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the power to change and to be used by God to bring glory to His name. I hope you've enjoyed this segment or this episode, and I encourage you that if you're interested in getting more information about Pastor Vic's Nuggets, please go to my website. And the website is www.pastorvicsnuggets.com, all one word. And there's all kinds of resources. We have videos there, podcasts there, written material for you to be able to use as you allow Jesus Christ to work through you to touch this world. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you the next time.